but welcome to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. Now that I have my headsets plugged in, I can actually hear. Oh, good morning. Gunther has all the shades drawn in here. For all I know, it's middle of the night. But, come on, I can read a clock. As long as it's digital. Oh, kids today, what? There's going to come a time where millennials and younger are going to look at a clock that's not digital and go, that's really cute. What is that? Yeah, they're not going to know. But we do, because we're old, so we've got that advantage. Welcome to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, September the 8th, and serving you in every way that we are able. If you're a loyal listener, you know that we talk about many, many, many things. It is called More Than Money, by the way. And so we talk about lots and lots of different things, and of course, most of them are focused on you. You're not part of the show. You're the heart of the show. Your agenda is our agenda. So if you have questions about your personal financial picture, investments, income taxes, estate planning, if you've got questions about retirement, about 401ks, about IRAs, about RMDs, about SOBs, if you've got questions about all those things, all you need to do is ask. And you can ask in lots of ways. The easiest, the old school, the traditional, the way that you get the most information, the quickest is to simply call 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900. We're happy to take your calls, and John will speak gently to you, and then you'll get to talk to Gene. If you've got a question and you'd like to share that with John, and maybe you're a little shy talking on the radio, that's all right, John. I'll take that question down. We'll get that squared away for you. Additionally, you can send me an email. Those work very nicely. Gene@askmtm.com. That's gene@askmtm.com. And we're happy to receive your emails as well. I got a couple very early this morning. So that's very, very kind of you. And of course, if you're further afield, or if you have friends or family or people that you care about that are further afield and you'd like them to share the show as well, but they can't quite reach our signal, or our signal doesn't quite reach them, I guess, all they have to do is log on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And hit the Listen Live button, and you're engaged. And then if you have a question as you're listening to the show, just hit the Ask Gene button, and that comes directly to me. And we're happy to serve you in that way as we are able. Again, 610-720-7900. You'll notice that often, in addition to repeating the numbers throughout the show, to try to get you as engaged as we can, when I give you the phone number, I slow down. This is a good piece of advice for those of you out there who are leaving voicemail messages at our More Than Money World Headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. It happens probably 6 or 7 times out of 10. I get a phone call. I get a voicemail. I'm listening to it. Hey, Gene, it's John. I'd like to talk to you about a couple things on the show. Call me at and for some reason, people think that they should give the number as fast as humanly possible. No, that's not how we do that. 610-720-7900. See how I did that? You see how I did that? By the way, I was not picking on John, because John never does that. He's Johnny on the spot. See how that worked? See how I put those two things? Nice. Yeah, the spot. Yeah, come on. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Ron. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. And I want to clarify something that I may have missed on an earlier program.
Okay.
It has to do with, is there a way that I can avoid probate or inheritance taxes on the cash that I have in the bank that I've been saving for years, but I'm getting up to the point where I'd like to leave this money to the children, but the bank tells me there's no way to avoid the inheritance tax on the money that I leave them. Is there a way?
Ron, the answer is you have actually conflated several questions, so I'm going to tell you that the answer is both yes and no. Is there a way for you to avoid probate and inconvenience and hassle for your family upon your passing for your bank accounts? That answer is yes. Is there a way to avoid inheritance tax, the state of Pennsylvania inheritance tax, because it is unlikely that you will be exposed to the federal estate tax, which starts at about $11 million. So that's not a likely thing. Mr. John, we have another one coming in. Thank you, sir. So bottom line is, if you wish to avoid probate, that's rather easy. The bank can help you at no charge. It's a form called a transfer on death form, sometimes called a payable on death form. It is very much like naming a beneficiary to an IRA or an insurance policy, and it will go to your family, your children, your heirs, whoever you select, directly, without going through your will, without going through probate, and without being delayed. So that's very easy. If the bank told you that you could not avoid the estate tax, it's because they're assuming that you want to keep this money under your control. And if that is the case, then yes, whether it's avoiding probate, whether it goes through your will, or whether it goes directly, it will be part of your estate. You will pay estate taxes. But if for some reason you're looking at this block of money and you're saying, you know what, I really don't need it, it's really not something that's important to me financially, you could gift that money away in a number of different ways. But let's just keep it simple. You could gift that money away now. It would leave your estate and it would not be estate taxable. So most folks are unwilling. And to be fair, most folks that I counsel to not give their money away. But if indeed avoiding the estate tax is the highest priority, then it's relatively easy. You simply remove your name from the account, put the kids' names on the account, and it's out of your estate.
I see. Okay. Well, I have three children involved, and that was my problem. I wanted three children to get an equal share of whatever's left in the bank.
Sure.
When I go, but each one of them are going to get hit with the inheritance tax.
Four and a half percent. There's no question. There's a little bit of a cost. Where I sit, it's a very small number. If I were sitting where you are, would I give up control and put my kids on the account? The answer is no. I would be willing to have them incur that 4.5% so that I have complete control right to the very end. I think one of the best gifts that we give our family is to stay financially independent our whole lives. And if they end up with a couple bucks when we're gone, that's fabulous. And if they don't, that's okay too. Now, that's my personal opinion. Lots of folks disagree with me, and they would rather give their kids money than spend it themselves. That's a personal choice, and lots of ways to skin the cat, so to speak. Ron, I appreciate the call very much. You're very, very kind. God bless you this morning. And we encourage everybody who's currently listening to follow Ron's lead at 610-720-7900. And that's what Gary has done. We're going to go to the phones. We talked to Gary. Gary, good morning. You're on More Than Money.
Good morning, Gene.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
My question is regarding restricted application. My wife is currently, she's going to be in December. I'm going to turn 66 in March of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We had been in and we talked with Mark mm-hmm. regarding restricted application. And he said at that point, I can file on her Social Security, which she's currently collecting,
mm-hmm.
And get half of hers. My question is, do I have to wait till after my birthday of March 5th, or can I do it prior to that to get a running start on it?
You can absolutely do it prior. The proportion that is typically quoted that a spouse receives is half of the spouse's benefit. If you're getting a spousal benefit, you'll get half of your wife's benefit, for example. That can be reduced if you're taking it prior to your normal retirement age, typically reduced by 0.5% a month. So it may have an effect of a couple of dollars, but it should not be substantial, and it probably won't change your mind about taking it a little bit early.
It's fine. I'll just wait till I'm past 66. I didn't know if there was some paperwork or something prior to do so that we could get it when I turn 66.
No, it's
now,
go ahead.
A further question. I intend to suspend my Social Security until I'm 70. That won't affect mine. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, wonderful. Good plan.
I appreciate your phone call this morning, Gary. You take care.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, God bless. 610-720-7900. Now, that's the way a show's supposed to start, dude. Calls right out of the gate. That way they're not calling it at 9:51. Or not exactly. That's... Actually, 9:58 is okay. We're deep into a song by then. We're toast. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. I have a question to share with you momentarily that I want to share with you, and I don't know the specific answer to. And if Mark Basak, our Social Security wizard, is listening, he may call in and tell me the specific answer. I've got some good guidelines, I believe, but I don't know the... I've not run into this, so I'll share that with you momentarily. Again, 610-720-7900. Before we do that, I want you to please do me the great favor. If you've been listening to Bobby Gunther Walsh this week, you know that we're coming up on 9/11 and that this will be the 10th year that More Than Money and WAEB make serious efforts to raise serious funds for our Keystone Warriors to benefit our Pennsylvania veterans and their families, folks who have injuries that are both visible and invisible. And in some cases, as you may have heard this week, helping families where veterans sadly are no longer with us. We want to help as a matter of principle, for sure, but also as a remembrance of what is now, what's Tuesday will be the 17th anniversary of 9/11. More than 3,000 innocent lives lost. A real wake-up call to the reality of modern 21st century life in this world and the challenges that we face and the pure evil that exists in the world. Pure evil. And if you're listening to someone who purports to be a leader, either a public servant, an elected leader of some form, a spiritual leader of some form, a leader of any kind, a thought leader who would suggest to you that there is no evil and that we simply have to understand people, that it's on us, then you are listening to a fool. You are listening to a person that either has a hidden agenda. That's pretty common, sadly. Or legitimately simply doesn't have the mental capacity to understand bigger ideas. And as you listen to folks who say ridiculous things like there is no evil and can't we all just get along? And don't get me wrong, love John Lennon. Love John Lennon. Love his music. But hey, all we are saying is give peace a chance. Hey, all I am saying is build the wall, protect Americans, cut it out. Why do we invite people in to kill us? So 9/11 was a wake-up call, and there's lots of ways that folks remember that. This past summer, my family and I got to see the 9/11 Memorial. We got to see the 9/11 Memorial Museum. Wow. Wow. It's very, very difficult to get your head around. And if you've not yet gone, at some point you really should make that effort. And if you're in the museum, I think one of the most moving parts is one of the simplest parts. There are two rooms, one for each tower And as you walk in, all you see are photographs, thousands of photographs, from very young to senior citizens, all gone in moments. So please join us Tuesday on the actual anniversary of 9/11. Join us in our More Than Money World Headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. From wherever you are in the valley, come to on Route 22 to 191, go north 1 mile. There's a light at the, there's a certain spot where there's a light. Turn left and we're a quarter of a mile on the left. We will be, I will be there about 4:30 in the morning on Tuesday. And goodness, welcoming Bobby Gunter Walsh as he goes on air at 5, joining him for the next 5 hours as he broadcasts live. Connie and Sue and Stephanie will be there very early as well. Lots of hot coffee, lots of tea, lots of juice, lots of refreshments to keep you up and running that early in the morning. Lots of yummies. My friend Bobby Williams tells me he's bringing lots of good food. And there's a rumor that Mission Barbecue is going to be there. Nice, exactly. People going, barbecue for breakfast? Well, heck yes. Hey, it wasn't that many years ago I was in college eating cold pizza for breakfast a lot. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We've got some very nice gifts for folks who come in and make a pledge. If you're in our office, not only do we extend our hospitality, but if you're making a contribution that day, we have some More Than Money T-shirts that we're going to share for certain levels of pledge, and some more Than Money golf shirts. Absolutely gorgeous. John has one of those. Absolutely beautiful for substantial pledges as well. If you have pledged in the past, particularly if you're one of our most loyal supporters who have helped us with matching money, if you could let us know that you'll be rejoining us, that would be great. Easy, just a quick email to gene@askmtm.com. That would be very, very helpful indeed. For everyone else, please join us. The whole crew will be there. So if you're missing the opportunity to, you haven't had a chance to touch base with Diane in a while, with Bill, with Mark, with Daryl, they will be there. Yes, I'll be there. Please, I'm the least valuable person in this entire process. And for those of you that have been there in the past, you already know what I'm about to tell you. The person who literally is at the heart of everything we do on 9/11, the person who is very much our leader in terms of how we approach and our commitment to serving our military vets is Connie Plaha. And Connie will be there, and she'll be there early, and she'll be there late, and she'll be working really, really hard to encourage folks to give, not till it hurts. Lots of folks are making pledges, and they're saying thank you to us. I guess it doesn't hurt that much. I guess in a lot of ways, it's very, very good. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Al. Al, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Gene. I came in on the tail end of the conversation about PODs.
Sure.
And the question that I have is, if I fill out that form at the bank, or however I fill out the form, do I give it to the bank to hold?
Yeah, actually, what will happen is that the bank will keep it on file. You'll keep a copy of it, and then your account statement should actually reflect that the titling of the account has changed, and it will go from I'm being simplistic, Al to Al TOD, transfer on death to. And the fact that it's designated as a TOD is the indicator when someone has passed away that this account needs to be distributed per the paperwork. And the bank, yes, retains the paperwork.
And also in that same vein, in a passing, with a safe deposit box, right now it's my wife and myself on the form. what is our daughter, if we both pass away, say, in a common accident, what would she have to do to get into the safe deposit box then?
Yeah, there's some challenges there. It's because safety deposit boxes are often, Mr. John, if they are, typically, they're held by you, they're held by me, we're held jointly. If we are both gone, then the executor must present at the bank a number of documents, death certificates, of course, typically a copy of the will showing that they are the executor. If the will has been probated, that it's been approved through the probate process, that they are acting in an official capacity. In the absence of all that documentation, the bank is unlikely to open the safety deposit box for the executor. And then if they have all the proper documentation, the bank is understandably required to assist in inventorying what is in the safety deposit box. A lot of folks believe that if they tuck away things in their safety deposit box that they are now kept secret in some way, shape, or form. Could be if it's handled throughout your lifetime. But if assets are held in a safety deposit box at someone's demise, those are going to be inventoried and included in their estate.
You know, I mean, like the deed to our house, for instance, goes to, say, our daughter
sure. On
our passing. But, you know, that's where papers like that, she'd have to get an authorization for them to open the bank.
That is exactly right. Sure. And, of course, most of that is pretty straightforward and doesn't require any super quick access. But on occasion... And this is where people kind of scratch their heads and go, wow, this didn't work out well. On occasion, we have folks who have passed away where they kept their wills in their safety deposit box. So the executor that needs a copy of the will to show that they can get into the box can't get a copy because they can't get into the box to get it. You see what I'm saying? It can be a real problem. Your wills should not typically be held in your safety deposit box.
Just had another thought about the PODs. If that's the case where, you know, the proof of death, I mean, it tells you who it goes to, is that subject then to state income tax or state inheritance tax?
It is absolutely subject to state inheritance tax. Okay. It's still part of your estate. Al, thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it very much. God bless you.
9/11, Gene.
Oh, thank you. Good, good. I look forward to that. Thanks. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Dave. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. How are you on this wonderful day?
It is a gorgeous day. How may we serve you, sir?
Well, I have a question concerning the restricted application.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is going to be 66 in February, and I am already on Social Security. I went out at 62. I am 70.
Mm-hmm.
Our plan is for her to, I don't know if this is the proper terminology, but when she reaches 66, her retirement age, full Social Security, to file and suspend and then take a spousal, take half of mine. Now, since I went out at 62 and I went out with a reduced amount,
mm-hmm.
will she get half of my full amount or half of what I am collecting now?
Yeah, it's not what you're collecting now, and it certainly wouldn't be anything that has cost of living adjustment built into it. Since she's retiring at her full retirement age, it's my understanding, subject to the confirmation of my Social Security wizard, that she will get half of what you began collecting at age 62. That was one of the collateral issues when you decided to go early, is that she will end up with a reduced spousal as well. So I think she gets 100% of a reduced amount. That, of course, can be confirmed with Social Security, or it can be confirmed online. That's pretty easy to do as well.
Okay, one other question.
You got to go really fast. We have a hard break coming up.
Okay, we have a trust, mm-hmm. and if one of us should die, it's a revocable trust.
Sure.
And I have a piece in there that my son gets all my musical instruments.
Sure.
Does that mean when I die he'll get them, or when my wife dies, the second part of the trust is over with, you know?
Yeah, it absolutely depends on the documents. It can be done either way. It just has to be done correctly inside the documents. You've got an irrevocable trust. You should also have a will attached to that.
It's a pour-over will, yeah.
Yeah, if in the will at your passing they go to your son, that should happen immediately.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gene. God bless you and keep up the good work concerning 9/11. I am a veteran.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service. Natalie Merchant says we got to take a quick break. That's the way to get out of the gates. That's fun stuff. I mean, for me. John doesn't look like he's having that much fun. Not as much as he had last night. We'll talk more about that when we return. So, 610-720-7900. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Let your friends and family further afield know they should log on. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We'll take your questions after this on More Than Money. Back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience. Oh, my word. This morning, I feel every bit of it. Mr. John Elliott and I had a private audience with, just the two of us and 1,500 of our closest friends at the State Theater last evening with Stephen Wright. Oh, my goodness. If I'm guessing right, he's in his mid-60s. I'm just guessing.
I believe you're correct.
And what do you think? Has he lost anything?
No.
No. As a matter of fact, I've been a fan for, 25 years, 30 years. There's no one like him. There's just no one like him. I thought he was better than I expected.
Yeah, and what else is funny is we take his older classic material,
yeah,
which is only like a one-liner.
Yeah.
It's just as funny today.
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
Even if you know what the punchline is, it's still funny.
Well, but he weaves it in among some other stuff. You just go, wow. So I'm guessing he and I are about the same age, but I'm thinking he did a lot more recreational stuff than I did. That was crazy. We had quite an evening last night. We were at the Two Rivers for dinner before the show. If you've not been to Two Rivers, you really should try it. They have wonderful craft beers. Their food is great. Shrimp and grits. Oh, my gosh. It was out of this world. Some sausage, crumbled sausage, some pineapple. Oh, it was just. And I was with five of my close friends. So it was kind of a guy's night out. And we had great fun. I saw some wonderful friends at Two Rivers. And then the show, and he went, an hour and 40, hour and 45, something like that, straight through, no intermission, just insanity. And then the boys and I headed up to a club near us, Lakeside, that they have some live music. The girls are going out for dinner and some good music, so we got there, and which means Gene got home, I was going to say very late. Very early this morning. And then when the alarm went off at 5, I went, all right, who's messing with me? It can't possibly be 5 o'clock already. Oh, great fun. Great fun. I hope you had a great time.
Awesome time.
Just wonderful. 610-720-7900. That's a number you're going to need here momentarily as we do name that tune. I also have a riddle, but I'm not going to use that as kind of a prize. I'm just going to put it out there and see if anybody. I'm going to see if John can figure it out. So well, if Gunther were here, I'd lay it on Gunther because Gunther knows everything. Not. So we'll figure that out. 610-720-7900. Do we have a we're geared up for a name that tune, sir?
Yeah.
Again, 610-720-7900. While you can send me email questions, emails are not acceptable for name that tune. Mr. John Elliott, sir. I'm not sure anybody's going to get that. That's tough. I mean, I get it because I know the song, but that's...
Yeah, the other one that you had suggested, we don't have.
Oh, well, that's probably just as well. Because, you can't have...
Everything.
You can't have the Toto of all the songs.
Where you
can't
put it?
You can't have everything. Where would you put it? Exactly. Oh, man. Great stuff. 610-720-7900. We'll give it another go. And I'm not sure I would get it from that. So we'll give it a go. 610-720-7900. In the meantime, Mr. John, are you ready for a riddle?
I'll try.
Okay. This is a food. First, you throw away the outside.
Okay.
Then you cook the inside. Mm-hmm. Then you eat the outside and throw away the inside. I know. First time I heard it, I'm going, somebody's on drugs. It was a Stephen Wright, but it's actually pretty good. So, I'll give it to you again. Okay. I'll give it to everybody again. Somebody out there has already heard it, that's what. First, you throw away the outside. Then you cook the inside. Then you eat the outside. Then you throw away the inside.
That's over my head.
Well done. Well played, grasshopper. It's corn on the cob. You throw away the outside, you cook the inside, you eat the outside, you throw away the inside. I love that. 610-720-7900. I've got, there's too many things going on that I would like to comment on, but I've got too many emails, and perhaps we'll go to the phones. Good morning. You're on More Than Money.
More Than Money. Over my head, Fleetwood Mac.
Apparently you are correct, sir. I'm thinking John helped you out a little bit on that. Hang on, John. I'll get you here.
Hold on. Tell John or yourself to give it to the next person that calls that wants a prize from you, and they can have it.
We've got somebody online, so we thank you very much, John. Let's go to the next one.
There you go.
Good morning. You're on More Than Money.
Yes. Hi. Did you get a winner on Name That Tune?
What do you think it is? Go ahead.
It is Over My Head by Fleetwood Mac.
Okay. We did get a winner, but the first gentleman was very, very kind, and he declined. So that makes you first runner up winner.
Oh, great.
Congratulations.
To listen on the app after all.
There you go. Oh, nice. Congratulations. Hang on, John. I'll get your information.
Thank you.
610-720-7900. If you've got a question, give John a moment or two to collect his information. Oh, Stephen Wright. There's just too many. 610-720-7900. Here's the question that I wanted to share with you. I will give my best answer, and then hopefully if somebody knows even more detail, and we'll follow up. This is from Ken, says, I reviewed my Social Security statement and there were no earnings reported for the years 2006 to 2010. Is there any way to remedy that? I do not have tax returns for those years. Can I get copies from the IRS? First of all, is there a way to remedy? Yes. And this is a hugely important lesson. It's a hugely important piece of advice to be shared with as many people as you can possibly share it with, because folks assume, they assume that their Social Security records are correct. They assume that, for example, their employers properly reported those wages. That may or may not be the case. They assume that their Social Security has not been stolen. They assume that no one has already claimed their Social Security benefits. You've got to go online. You've got to go on SSA.gov. You've got to open your account. You've got to get yourself squared away. You cannot assume that that's A-OK. As in this case, Ken's already figured out this is a problem. Now, can it be corrected? Yes. Yes, it absolutely can be corrected. First thing you need to do is contact Social Security, and they're going to, this is where I'm into my, where I think I'm on pretty solid ground, but the process may be slightly different. They're going to need to be alerted. Social Security may very well have direct access to your tax returns. If they do not, can you get access from either your tax preparer? Most tax preparers maintain documents for a period of time. This is going back 12 years, so the answer is they may not have those. And then can you request it from the IRS? It's my understanding that you can. In the absence of all of that, one of the questions that you're not asking that I would ask is, if there were no earnings reported for those years, did your employer during those years mess up? Did they simply have amnesia and forget that they needed to report these things? Or is it far worse than that, in that not only did they not report it, but all of the withholding that you did not receive, is there in some way, shape, or form, has there been some fraudulent action that may cause you to have, that they just never sent in your withholding? That's something that you've got to jump all over. If you run into a pickle, please follow up with us. And again, through Mark Basak, our Social Security wizard, will get you as much information and as much assistance as we possibly can. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. We have a nice simple question. Last week's show, you were talking about joint accounts that would be compromised if one party is going through a divorce. Does this also apply to joint tenants? And the answer is yes. Joint tenancy is less common than joint ownership. Joint tenancies are almost always found with spouses. And if one is going through a divorce, is it subject? Sure. If one's going through a bankruptcy, is it subject? Sure. If one's being sued, is it subject? Sure. So there are issues that you've got to be very, very cautious about, very, very concerned about. Very good, sir. She was there last week. I'm sorry?
She was there last
week. Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. Very good. So, yes, can a joint tenant with rights to survivorship account be compromised? The answer is yes. And for those of you that were not with us last week, we talked in detail about the inclination on the part of senior citizens, particularly, and often widows, of putting their kids on their accounts. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Karen. Karen, good morning. Karen.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, you're going to need to turn your radio down so you can listen to me.
Okay.
I realize it's on a totally different time.
Yeah, so
I did want to say I did see the Stephen Wright show.
What'd you think?
Awesome. People never stopped laughing.
Oh.
Did you notice the gentleman in the Viking outfit?
I did see him. Oh my goodness.
He claims it's authentic. Even to the hairdo.
I am a big fan of the History Channel. I'm a big fan of the TV series The Vikings. The hairdo, yes, I've seen that on that show, and that's supposed to be authentic. He was very noticeable.
I was just wondering about the people behind him. Could they see? That fur collar was huge. Anyhow, my question was about irrevocable trust.
Sure.
What are your thoughts? I know about the 5-year rule. It was basically keep out the amount of money you might need for a nursing home for 5 years, put the rest in an irrevocable trust. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it certainly trims the amount of money that's in your estate, so your heirs will pay less Pennsylvania state inheritance tax, so that's a good thing. It protects those assets in the event that, sadly, if in the future you need care, that you run through all of your assets. Those assets are not taken for either nursing home or institutional care, so that's a good thing. Of course, the assets are irretrievable. They have been separated from you irrevocably.
Exactly.
So if in the long term, at some point you go, gosh, I wish I had that back, then that's a real struggle. That's a real problem. But other than that, if you've already taken these steps to do it, and your goal was to move money out of your estate and protect it from nursing homes or from care expenses, then you've done a good thing.
But you've basically lost, assuming your trustee is reliable,
mm-hmm.
Can you write into an irrevocable trust that you're entitled to, like, an allowance?
You can write into a trust basically anything that you wish. If you put too much opportunity in the trust for you to benefit, then the courts will look at that and say it is no longer irrevocable. So even though the title of the trust is irrevocable, even though the quote-unquote intent is irrevocable, if you give yourself too many, if the trust document gives the trustor, which is the person setting up the trust, if the trust document gives the trustor too many benefits, too many opportunities to benefit from the assets, the courts will simply rule that it was a sham transaction, and the irrevocability will be pierced. So,
how under what conditions can you get some money out?
Well,
you have run out of your money.
Sure. And the reality is, if you have put money in an irrevocable trust, it's not your money. So if you have run out of other funds, you have run out of funds. Setting up an irrevocable trust is something that we rarely recommend to our clients. We do on occasion, and we never recommend that they do it without sitting with a very experienced estate planning attorney who can walk them through all the potential pitfalls. So an irrevocable trust is a major deal, has to be... it has to be constructed exactly and precisely correct. It's a big deal.
Okay. I thank you so much.
Oh, God bless.
Can the trustee, if you have medical expenses or need money for some reason at his discretion?
Can he release funds?
Yes.
The answer will be determined by the trust document. The trustee can only do what the trust document permits him or her to do. Inside the trust document, hopefully drafted by a very experienced attorney, there are instructions, and there are entire lists of responsibilities and authorities. There are things that a trustee can do. There are things a trustee cannot do. Those are all spelled out in the trust document. If you've already done this, if you've already got...
I have not.
Oh, very good. Then what you need to do is to, again, counsel with a very experienced estate planning attorney. Make sure that they understand very clearly what your goals are and let them advise you as to whether an irrevocable trust is in your best interest.
I thank you so very, very much.
You're very, very welcome, Karen. You take care. God bless. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Marie. Marie, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about stock.
Sure.
My father died, and the stock that my mother and father both had was joint tenant. Now, they have it in their will that I am to inherit the stock,
mm-hmm.
and the stock certificate numbers are listed in the will.
Sure.
Now, when he died, my mother and I contacted the stock company,
mm-hmm.
and we sent them everything they needed. We had to send in the old stock, and they issued us new stock.
Sure.
But a new certificate number.
Sure.
Now, my question is, the will has the old certificate number in it,
mm-hmm.
and my mom's a little worried that, okay, now what do we do because it has a new number?
Very good.
Can I write the new number and get it notarized somewhere, or what do I do?
Yeah, there's a couple ways to handle this, and just so that I'm clear, your mom is still alive.
Right.
So dad passed away. At the point that your dad passed away, it was in joint names, so it became your mom's 100%.
Right.
At the point that she passes away, she wants all that stock to be in your name 100%.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, this is really fairly easy. Your mom's will, if it does indeed have a stock certificate number listed specifically, you can do a one-page, almost exactly as you described. It's referred to as a codicil. It simply says that the stock certificate named in or listed in her will has been replaced by a new number. Here's the new number. You get it notarized. That should be absolutely fine. How long ago was your mom's will written? Do you know?
Oh, I'm going to say that was probably written maybe over 20 years ago.
It is likely a better idea for your mom to sit with an estate planning attorney and have her entire will reviewed instead of trying to patch this one thing. 20 years is a long time. Most professional quality estate planning attorneys recommend that their clients have their wills reviewed, oh goodness, every 5 years or so. So it's been way overdue for your mom to have a discussion with an estate planning attorney. During that discussion, of course, they can, if they're looking at the will and say there's nothing that needs to be changed except for this number, they can do that very simply, very easily. If it's an issue of cost, indeed, you can do it yourself. But 20 years since she had her will drawn, it's high time that she has that reviewed by somebody just to make sure that everything that is in the document is still going to be valid, still going to be effective. The rules have changed, laws have changed, just to make sure everything happens the way she wants it to.
Okay. All right, because, yeah, she was a little worried, and I'm, like, thinking, yeah, I don't want to come up against it either because
we
have different numbers.
Of course. Yeah, let's fix this now when it's easy to fix,
right,
rather than later when it's – how old is Mom?
Mom is 85.
And how's she doing?
She's – my dad died 7 months ago. So
She's
a little hard, and my husband passed away over 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm basically taking care of her,
you know? God bless you. God bless. And you're taking care of each other.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we are. I don't want to lose her.
Of course not. And we want to give her as much peace of mind as we possibly can. 7 months is so quick. As you know, 2 years is so quick. Goodness gracious. It's one of the hardest.
It stops hurting.
Oh, no, of course not. And as a financial advisor, they send young kids to school to become financial advisors. They never teach them that you will come a time when you've cared so much for your clients for so many years that you have to go to funerals.
Yeah.
And you have to say goodbye to friends. And then you have to be there to support the folks that they've left behind. So my prayers go out to you. My prayers go out to your mom. This is a good idea for her to sit with an attorney, get lots of peace of mind, and make sure it's done exactly right.
Okay.
Marie, thank you so much. Oh, no, thank you. God bless you so much.
Oh, God bless you too.
A little bit of music to take us to the top of the hour. That's very, very helpful. And Fleetwood Mac, there's a piece of work. Hey, we're going on tour. By the way, Lindsey Buckingham, we're kicking you out just before we leave. Oh, my goodness. Well, our prayers, thoughts and prayers do go out to Marie and her mom. That's a tough time. 610-720-7900. We'll take your calls after this on More Than Money.